Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, everyone. This is former Houston Rocket player Joaquin Hawkins with
Cody Davis, and we are the hosts of Believe in the Rockets, only on the Believe Podcast Network. Before we get started, we want to tell you guys about Aurora NutraScience. It's a health and nutrition product that helps you get the vitamins needed for a healthy lifestyle.
These are three of the vitamins that I currently take. Exoflex is supposed to help out with joint pain. Curcumin works like Advil and is good for inflammation. And vitamin D3 improves overall health and assists with strong bones and teeth.
To try these products and more from Aurora NutraScience, go to VivaLifeScience.com and use the promo code ROCKETS for a 10% discount at checkout. Again, go to VivaLifeScience.com and use the promo code ROCKETS for a 10% discount at checkout.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of Believe in the Rockets, only on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, I'm your host, credential reporter for SB Nation, covering the Houston Rockets, Cody Davis, along with my partner in crime,
former Houston Rocket, Joaquin Hawkins. What's going on, everyone? CD, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Well, I have some good news. The Houston Rockets season
is over.
We no longer have to talk about what is possibly going to go down as the worst season in franchise history. And look, ladies and gentlemen, I know this season was a terrible year, but I do believe that the future for the Houston Rockets do look bright, to say the least. How can I say that, knowing that the Rockets only won 17 games and lost 55 games, the worst record in the league? It's because they have a lot of young guys on this team, a lot of young guys who had an opportunity to go out there on the court and help to lay a foundation to the Houston Rockets rebuild. But with that being said, where does that leave John Wall? So on today's installment of Believe in the Rockets, Hawk and I are going to discuss John Wall's future with this team, and is he a long-term fit with this organization? And then later on in the show, Hawk and I are going to discuss Rudy T's remarks about Robert Horry belonging in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I have my thoughts about it. Hawk, I'm pretty sure you have your own thoughts about it. We're going to get into that later on in the show. But first, before we get into everything, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So as promised on today's installment of Believe in the Rockets, we're going to discuss John Wall's fit with the Houston Rockets. And ladies and gentlemen, look, John Wall's first season in Houston was a very strange one, to say the least. I mean, first and foremost, you have to discuss that this is a guy who missed the last two seasons. He was out with an Achilles tear. And not only that, he was also out with some type of foot injury, another foot injury as well, kept him sidelined for 2 years. And it seemed like he was on the verge of continuing his career in Washington. Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston. And there was a switch. Basically, I would trade your headache that the Rockets had in Westbrook for Washington's headache, which was for John Wall. And of course, Washington also had to attach a first round draft pick to John Wall as well in order to move on from him. And I had a lot of high hopes for John Wall, especially due to the fact that his arrival in Houston always seemed like the final chance of James Harden going back on his word that he also wanted out of Houston. And not only that, we all hope that that pairing between John Wall and James Harden could have saved Harden's career in Houston for at least another year. However, we know, what was it, 6-10 games into this season. I don't even think it made 10 games. We saw what happened in the game against the Los Angeles Lakers. James Harden says this relationship cannot be fixed, and the next day he gets traded off to Brooklyn. And during that short time, I guess I'm going to call it the 10 games after James Harden was traded, it seemed like the Houston Rockets were going to be okay. And part of the reason why it seemed like the Rockets were going to be okay was due to the play of John Wall, because we started seeing the player that he was in Washington, a player that made him a five-time All-Star. However, just like everything else with the rest of the team, once injuries started to take a toll on this team, including John Wall, with his season ending prematurely due to a knee injury, he did not look like the same player. After the All-Star break, though, and the Rockets was trying to implement Kevin Porter Jr., that's when I started to see a decline from John Wall, because on one hand, Steven Silas and the Rockets organization still wanted John Wall to go out there and play his game as the leader of this organization, as the point guard of this team on the court. But at the same time, we were starting to see the Rockets try to put the ball in Kevin Porter Jr. hands. And I believe part of the decline that we saw in John Wall's play during the second half of the season was basically him not wanting to defer to Kevin Porter Jr., because that is a guy who hasn't done anything in the league. And let's be real, ladies and gentlemen, John Wall is a ball dominant point guard. And the only reason why he worked in Washington playing alongside another ball dominant guard was because he was paired with Bradley Beal, and him and Bradley Beal are damn near brothers. And he was willing to share the ball with Bradley Beal. Not only that, when he comes to Houston, he was willing to share the ball with James Harden. But once again, you're looking at arguably, what, the third, fourth greatest shooting guard of all time. So, of course, you're not going to have a problem with sharing the ball with James Harden. But to sit here and say you're going to go from sharing the ball with two guys who are, I guess, in John Wall's mind, on his level. And of course, we all know that James Harden is way beyond the level of John Wall, and there's no disrespect to him, but let's be real about this. However, it seemed like he was struggling to share the ball with another guard in Kevin Porter Jr., who hasn't done anything. And not only that, after John Wall's season ended, we started to see Kevin Porter Jr. take his game to another level. He went from a guy who looked like he was trying to figure it out to, oh my God, you looked up. This is a guy who led the Houston Rockets to a victory by scoring a career high 50 points and dishing out 10 assists. Now you look at where this organization is headed. Now keep in mind, John Wall was only brought to this organization as basically a final test, a final opportunity to keep James Harden here in the city of Houston. That did not happen. You know, the Houston Rockets are entering a rebuild that is going to feature a lot of young players. John Wall does not have a future with this organization. However, on the flip side of that, this is a man who is still owed, I believe, $90 million over the next 2 to 3 years on his contract. So what can the Rockets do in order to move on from John Wall?
Let's talk about John Wall himself as a player. I love the fact that he came in motivated to play. It was a new atmosphere for him, a new opportunity for him, just coming back from an injury. And the way he came back, you could tell that he was the John Wall that we all know that he could play like. And he was able to do that successfully. Coming back from an Achilles injury like that, you know, you never know, but to actually see him out there perform at a high level, it was, you know, understandably understood that he could play at that level. So I don't question his abilities. Like you said, on the flip side of it, is he a good fit for the Rockets? A couple of reasons why I don't feel that he is a good fit for the Rockets. For one, they are really in a rebuild mode. From the guards they do have, from the front office, I mean, just the organization in itself, he's talented. And it's not the fact that he can play at the highest level, but I think for what the Rockets need now, they want to put their focus, their emphasis on rebuilding with their younger guys. And, you know, there's not too many John Walls out there, but, you know, again, being in the rebuilding mode, I think the Rockets and the organization, they understand that it's going to take some time. And that's a big contract that he has. And I don't know who else will be able to pick it up, but they could use him to trade and get some other pieces to help them have a better future. But I don't feel that in the long run that he's going to be a good fit for them. Now, if they can get some pieces between now and in the beginning of next season or before the trade deadline for next season, it's a possibility that it can work. Because again, the dude can play, man. He's a baller. We know he can play at a high level. You know, he seemed like he's 100% fully healed from the Achilles injury. So it's not a question of his abilities, but it's just a question of, do he fit what the Rockets need for their future?
To be honest with you, I really kind of feel bad for John Wall to a certain extent, because not only did he prove that he is back from a 2-year hiatus. I mean, think about it. This guy came back from a torn Achilles. And, you know, we had another guy on his roster who goes by the name of DeMarcus Cousins. And he also was coming back from a torn Achilles. And as a matter of fact, when you take a look at DeMarcus, he is nowhere near the guy he was prior to his Achilles tear. Now, I do understand that DeMarcus also had a quad injury in the midst after he tore his Achilles. He also tore his ACL. Like, he has had a lot of lower leg injuries that has derailed his career. And, you know, thankfully, as of right now, John Wall has not had the same. However, you see DeMarcus Cousins as of May 21st, 2021, he is officially a shell of his former self. John Wall proved, when given an opportunity, when the stakes are at its highest, especially when he's going up against another all-star, like we saw in the game where I believe he scored a season-high 39 points. It might have been 40 points in the loss against the Los Angeles Clippers. John Wall proved that he can still ball. As I mentioned, during that 20-game losing streak, the last five games, he was averaging 25, 26 points per game. He still has something left in the tank. However, on the flip side of that, is he worth another team paying $90 million to? And I know a lot of people keep talking about, oh, you got to look at the possibility of John Wall accepting a buyout. Hawk, as a player, would you accept a buyout knowing that you're going to lose? Let's say if the Rockets paid you $20 million to go away. You're still, or you, that means you'll be missing out on what, $70 million? I don't see a buyout happening with John Wall. I think best case scenario for Wall and this organization, Raphael Stone, they're going to have to trade him. And the only way I can see him being somewhat appealing to another team, you're going to have to give up a draft pick. And I know a lot of fans do not want to hear us trading a draft pick along with John Wall to another team. However, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about it, trading John Wall is basically what's best for this organization. Because as I mentioned, the fit between him and Kevin Porter Jr., it wasn't good. It seemed like John Wall did not want to defer to Kevin Porter Jr. And at times it seemed like Kevin Porter Jr., out of respect, did not want to take the ball out of John Wall's hand when they was on the court together. And once again, we saw what Kevin Porter Jr. was able to do. The best part of his season came after they set John Wall down for the entire season. And I don't want this segment to turn into I don't want John Wall in Houston because I don't like him or anything like that. Or anything like that. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen at Hulk, I appreciate everything John Wall did for this organization this season. I mean, this man stood up for us after, let's be real, James Harden treated this organization like a dog in his final moments as a Houston Rocket. And what did he do? He came out and said, we're going to be okay because I'm the leader. I'm the point guard. During that 20-game losing streak, he was the guy who was going out there every single day trying to make sure, trying to get this team to end that losing streak. As we all know, this man was on a back-to-back restriction and during, I believe it was the final 8 games of that losing streak, when we had a back-to-back, John Wall was playing because he was that committed in getting this organization out of what was by far the worst and lowest moment of this organization. He was there to speak up for Stephen Silas after the fiasco took place between this organization and PJ Tucker. He has been there. However, now you have a guard who can be your a foundational piece moving forward. And not only that, you trade John Wall to a contender where he can actually go out and play meaningful basketball. And I know there is the, well, if you rebuild, you still have to keep a veteran around. And what I saw this year from John Wall proved to me that he could be one of the best leaders in this league. However, in a rebuild, you want to develop your younger guys. And keeping John Wall on this team is just going to hinder the developments of guys like a Kyrie Thomas or Kevin Porter Jr. or an Amani Brooks or whoever might be the new young guys on this team moving forward. Trading John Wall is what's best for both parties as of right now.
Just to reiterate what you just said in regards to is it the best thing for the Rockets? Is it the best thing for John Wall? First of all, if I'm John Wall, I'm not taking any less than what you owe me.
and that's fair. And that's fair.
You owe me, you know, I came here. I couldn't help, you know, that James left and, you know, that the front office has changed. But, you know, to his credit, as you said, he's been nothing but the professional coming in, trying to be a leader, trying to lead by example. Even at their darkest moments of losing 20 games in a row. I mean, he didn't complain. He didn't say, you know what, I don't want to play. It was just unfortunate that, you know, all of his energy to do the right thing and be that leader, you know, it didn't translate to any W's for them. And then finally, just to see the difference when they did sit him down toward the last few games to see those young guys come out and them really, you know, make a mark for themselves. I mean, that's fitting to what they need as an organization. They need something different. And again, I want to see John stay there. I really do, man. I want to see what he can do having the right pieces around him. It's unfortunate that Harden left, but hey, things happen. But I think to get where the Rockets want to go, they're going to have to trade him. And that means that he's going to have to, you know, find a place that's better fit for him so that he can continue to be the all-star that we know he can be.
And on Tuesday, we had an opportunity to hear from both Raphael Stone and Stephen Silas during their season-ending media availability. And Raphael Stone did come out and say that he spoke to John Wall, and he said that John Wall is quote-unquote fired up about returning next season. I'm going to call bluff on that because we know a lot of stuff that's going on behind closed doors, they're not going to come out and say it. And unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to ask any of my sources about what's going on between the whole John Wall situation. I'm calling bluff on that statement. However, me personally, and once again, I'm not talking down on John. I appreciate everything he did for this organization this season. And by the way, he has always been one of my favorite players in this new generation. I mean, his prime in Washington, my God, he was a very explosive point guard. But I just don't want to see him back in Houston because it's not going to be a good fit on both parties. John Wall should be in a position where he is competing for a championship, and now the Rockets are in a position where they need to develop their young guys, especially if the future of this organization is Kevin Porter Jr. And we are back with this installment of Believe in the Rockets, only on the Believe Podcast Network. Last time Hawk and I was in the studio together, we were celebrating the Hall of Fame enshrinement of Rudy T. And as we all know, last week, Rudy T was enshrined along with Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Tamika Catchings. As we mentioned on the last installment, this is arguably, matter of fact, it's not even arguably, this is the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time, the 2020 Hall of Fame class. And shout out to class of 2021. They finally got my boy Chris Webber in there, but that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But with that being said, Rudy T made a very interesting remark during his Hall of Fame acceptance speech. He said that Robert Horry belongs in the Hall of Fame.
As I said, Rudy T is one of my all-time favorite coaches that I've had. And it's not just because he is the one that believed in me to make the NBA. But he's been around, man. He's been around players. He's been around coaches. He's been around situations. And if he says that he believes in something, it has to be a good inclination, because not only he believes in it, but it has to have some value to it. Robert Horry, is talk about his accolades, not even his accolades, but the success he's had, not just with the Rockets winning two championships, but went to the Lakers, not only played well, but helped them win a championship with the Spurs. He's been one of those icons where, yeah, you might not look at him like you look at a Kobe or a Michael Jordan, but I mean, he has seven championships. Is that right, Cody?
Yep, the man has seven.
I mean, how many more people can say they got seven championships? Multiple teams. You tell me. I'll wait.
I mean, well, according to the stats, there are, I believe, a total of 8 or 9 people in NBA history who has 7 or more NBA championships. And of course, I believe like 75% of that came from the dynasty of the Boston Celtics in the 1960s.
So let's talk about the era that he won his championships. Mm-hmm. And all those times and those teams that he's played against, they've always been one or two either Hall of Famers or All-Stars that he has beat. So I'm a roll with Rudy T. Get a red jacket ready for Robert, because I think he definitely belongs to be in the Hall of Fame. He just has his accomplishments of not just being on one team to have some success, and big shots that he's hit over the course of his years of playing, the influence, the impact he's had in the game. He's still around the game now, obviously, as a commentator. And, you know, it's just, he's been successful. And when I feel like if you're going to be successful, you got to be able to prove it. And he's proven. Having 7 championships, that don't come on, you know, that doesn't come naturally. You have to work for it. You have to be in the right situation. And he had some really good coaches that he had to play for. And give Big Bob his jacket, man. And let's go ahead and induct him.
I understand Robert Horry has 7 championships, but this man does not belong in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Hawk, give me a moment, please. First and foremost, I'm not about to sit here and disrespect Robert Ori, because he played an important role in all seven of those championships. And most of those championships, the team would not have won without him. Let's just take a look at the big moments he had that literally led to a ring on his finger. Let's take a look at 1995 with the Houston Rockets. If he does not play that type of defense on Penny Hardaway, the Rockets will have one less Larry O'Brien trophy sitting inside the Toyota Center. Let's take a look at the big shot that he hit in 2002, Game 4, Western Conference Finals against the Sacramento Kings. He is now playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. If he does not hit that shot to tie the series 2-2, going back to Sacramento, that could be one less championship trophy credited to the Los Angeles Lakers. Game 5 of the 2005 NBA Finals. He hits another big shot, this time as a member of the San Antonio Spurs. And not only that, and a lot of people, you know, they talk about Robert Ori. They talk about him hitting that big shot. I know you remember that, Hulk, hitting that shot for the Spurs to basically give them a 3-2 series lead. I believe it was the game winner. But a lot of people fail to forget, and I tried my hardest to find this, but the defense that he played in that game also came up clutch as well. Because I don't know if you remember, and I can't remember who it was, but there was a trap that he helped set on, I believe it was Rasheed Wallace, if I'm not mistaken, and Rasheed turned the ball over. And then a possession or two later, he goes down and hit that shot everyone remembers him for. I just gave everybody three different occasions that Robert Ori played an important role in those championships. But at the end of the day, Hawk and listeners, this man does not belong in the Hall of Fame. First and foremost, he doesn't even have the stats for someone who can say they're a Hall of Famer. He only averaged 7 points per game, and he didn't even score 10,000 points. He has, outside of championships, he has no type of regular season accolades. He had a pretty decent college career, but it's not one that could get him to the Hall of Fame alone. And let me remind everybody of this. This man has 7 championships. Who was his teammates during those 7 championships that he won? Hakeem Olajuwon, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and Tim Duncan. He was teammates with 4 of the top 10, if you want to go top 12, greatest players in NBA history. He's supposed to get 7. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of mad that he didn't get more than 7. Hulk, I don't see Robert Ori going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And once again, no disrespect to him, but let's be real about this. And not only that, also shout out to Robert Ori, because he was also one of the original big men who can step out and shoot the 3. A lot of people, especially in the mid-90s, and part of the reason why he was another important piece for the Houston Rockets winning those back-to-back championships, nobody knew how to guard that back in the day. The bigs that we see now stepping out, putting the ball on the floor, creating for their teammates, shooting 3s, he was one of the original big men to do that. But to sit here and say that Robert Ori belongs in the Hall of Fame because he got 7 rings, Hawk, I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Well, I'ma still stick to my story. 7 rings don't grow on trees.
And you're right.
It's work, it's patience, it's timing, being around the right coach, the right team, all those things. And maybe he didn't score 20 points a game as far as averages for his career. Maybe he doesn't even have a 20-point year where he's averaged 20 points for that entire season.
He don't. But I think the highest he got is 12, and that was with the Rockets in his second year.
Right. So can you go through every player in the Hall of Fame and say the same thing? Did they all average 20? Did they all do? No, it's different things that made them successful. And again, man, I know how hard it is to win one high school championship ring, and he got 7 NBA championship rings. Man, give that man some respect. He's done enough to be accepted. And I think he should definitely be inducted because of his success, what he's had.
We're going to see Hawk. I just don't consider Robert Horry a Hall of Famer. Now, if they do a Hall of Fame for a team, let's say if they want to honor the 2001 Los Angeles Lakers who went 16-1, you know, they do have teams that are in the Hall of Fame, then he definitely should be up there receiving his orange, red, whatever color that jacket is. He should definitely be up there receiving a jacket. But to say that he needs to be in the Hall of Fame based off his career alone, saying that he has 7 championships. And by the way, once again, this man played with 4 of the greatest players in NBA history. You have 2 of them that's in consideration for being the greatest big man of all time. You have 1 being in the running for being the most dominant big man of all time. You have 2 that's in a running for their case for the greatest player of all time. And 1 of them was literally the remix of the greatest player of all time. So Hawk, once again, I don't see it. And I kind of hate talking like this because I don't want people to listen to this and thinking that I'm A, hating on Robert Horry, or B, not giving him his respect or credit that he deserves. And once again, just like I mentioned, he was one of the original big men who can step out, shoot the 3, put the ball on the floor. Just like what we see today, he was one of the original big men who could do that kind of stuff. But I just don't see Robert Horry getting into the Hall of Fame just because he has 7 rings. And Hawk, I want your honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he deserves, just because he got 7 championships, do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame over guys like Carmelo Anthony, Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson?
Definitely not over AI. Over Tracy. Well, okay. I'll put it in more terms where maybe you can understand. You tell me, how many championships does Tracy McGrady have?
None.
Okay. How many championships does AI have?
None.
Okay. And I'm a vouch for AI because I played against the cat, man. And this dude, whew, he's still one of the best I've ever seen at his position. Who else did you name and said they don't have a?
Carmelo Anthony.
Does he have a championship?
No.
Okay. So if you don't have a championship, that should be, in my eyes, that should be one of the guidelines. You have to have a certain amount of championships.
So based off of your criteria, mm-hmm. Robert Horry is more of a Hall of Famer than Tracy McGrady, Allen Iverson, and Carmelo Anthony. And by the way, let's not forget that Robert Horry was never asked to do the things on a team like the other 3 players that I mentioned.
It's the body of work. The body of work of what he had to do. The body of work and the success that he's had. You got to be able to reward him.
How many MVPs does Robert Horry has?
0.
How many All-Star appearances does Robert Horry has?
Probably 0.
How many scoring championships does Robert Horry has?
Is there a guideline to how they select the Hall of Famers?
No, you're correct. There's not a guideline.
So my guideline is, okay, what have you done that others have not? And we know how hard it is to get, again, 1 championship, but you got 7 of them, multiple teams, and you have success on those teams. You got to reward that. And I'm sorry AI don't have a championship. I'm sorry that Carmelo Anthony doesn't have any championships. But the fact of what Robert has done and the things he has done with those teams, you got to reward him for that. And it's just not what he did for those seasons, but it was time and time again. Those teams were successful. He got a championship to prove it. And again, you got to acknowledge that.
We're going to agree to disagree. You know, really quick, before closing out this installment, saying that Robert Horry belongs in the Hall of Fame is like saying that Tito Jackson himself belongs in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Tito is, and I don't know how much you know about Michael Jackson and the Jacksons mm-hmm. and stuff. I mean, I'm probably the biggest Michael Jackson fan you will ever meet. But I consider Robert Horry and Tito Jackson like the same type of person.
What?
Like, no, because just like Robert Horry, Tito is part of the reason why the Jacksons were so good. He helped produce. He helped write songs. He, you know, even when Michael and Janet and everybody went solo, he actually helped them in their solo career. But we're not about to sit here and say that he deserved a spot in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next to Michael because he was just as good. No, we are not about to do that. And that's just how I feel. There are certain people in the group that deserve their roses. Robert Ory is one of the people that deserve their roses, but it comes to the point where I'm not going to go out and buy, I'm not about to go out and buy 12 dozen roses to give to him. Nah, I'll probably just go out and buy two or three and say, here you go. Thank you for a really good career.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself comparing Robert Ory to Tito Jackson, man.
But once again, like I said, Tito was just as important to that group. We all know who the megastar was. Michael equals Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Hakeem and Tim Duncan. But Tito was just as important to the Jacksons as Robert Ory was to these seven championships.
Think about what you just said. Tito Jackson was just a Jackson. So we can't compare him. Robert Ory went to not one team, not two teams. Come on, he went to multiple teams and have success and won a championship. So there is no comparison to that. So again, I'm looking at the body of work. I'm looking at his accomplishments when he was there, the value that he brought to that organization. You got to reward that. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he's just like a Tito Jackson. So, but Big Bob, I'm not saying that, dude. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
And with that being said, that concludes another installment of Believe in the Rockets, only on the Believe Podcast Network. Listeners, let us know how you feel about whether or not Robert Ory belonged in the Hall of Fame. And also let me know if I was a little bit disrespectful comparing Robert Ory to Tito. Because once again, I don't think people understand how important Tito was to that group. If he doesn't write, if he doesn't break their daddy's guitar, we would never see Thriller and Bad and all the rest of this stuff. And if Robert Ory does not knock down those game-winning shots and play the defense that he did, Kobe might only have four. Duncan might only have three. Shaq might only have two. And Hakeem might only have one. You see what I did? I am biased when it comes to Kobe. You see how I still let Kobe come out with the most rings? But anyways, as always, I'm your host, Cody Davis. Please remember to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CodyDavis underscore 24.
And you can follow me, Joaquin Hawkins, on Facebook, JUAQUIN. Last name is Hawkins. And also, you can follow me on Instagram, CoachHawk247. That is CoachHawk247.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.